All right, get your Bible out. Let's share the word this morning. And my goal is to be able to impart some hope to you, to impart to you strength to you. And I just want to say welcome if you're visiting with us. Some of you from out of town. I met this morning Lee, your granddaughter, right? They're here from Memphis. So just kind of wave at us. I forget your first name. India and Raphael. They're here from Memphis. So we're glad that they're here. And if you get a chance, give them a hug on the way out. We're kind of like huggy around here, so don't get nervous. And anybody else that's visiting, can you wave at, right here? And your name? Greg? Nice to have you here, Greg. Awesome. It's good to have you. We're going to hug you too. Yeah, as long as you don't, you know, 3-second rule. 1, 2, 3, break. Yeah, I thought we got it. Anybody else that's here for the first time? Okay, and I want to make sure that we see now that you know we're going to hug you, you're like, I ain't raising my hand. All right, Psalm 92, verse 1 and 2. I want to read this together. This is a message that's called Thanks and Giving. Not Thanksgiving, but Thanks and Giving. Let's read it together. Ready? We're going to start it where it says it is. Ready? Let's read it. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High. Now, before we read the next verse, how many remember that song? We used to sing it. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises. Does anybody else remember that song? Just three. Okay. Yeah. O Most High. Right. Go to the next verse, please. Let's read it. To declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. Notice what the psalmist said. Declare. Open up your mouth. Speak it. It's really important that when you get up in the morning, you think, thy loving kindness, it's better than life. God, I need to declare your loving kindness. I say your loving kindness over my day. Your loving kindness over my marriage. Your loving kindness over my singleness. Your loving kindness over my children. We need to declare your loving kindness. And then look, faithfulness every night. So when you lay your head down on the pillow at night, you say, Father, I want to say thank you. I want to declare that you've been faithful to me. You fed me. You clothed me. You watched over me. Yeah, we go through struggles. We go through trials. But look how God brought you through, right? And God is able to take us into His perfect plan in our life. And we have to trust that. So it's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. So we're only a couple of days away from Thanksgiving, and I thought it would be appropriate if I help us understand a little bit about those two words, thanks and to give. Because thanks and giving are two characteristics of a growing Christian. If you're growing in the Lord, it will be defined and marked by the fact that you are a thankful person. It will also be defined and marked over the fact that you are a giving person. People that don't give, people that hoard, people that are self-centered, are Christians that are not growing. Because growing Christians do both. How many know what the psalm says? Enter his gates, we sang it earlier. Enter his gates, what? With thanksgiving in your heart. So we understand we come into the presence of God with thanks and giving. And if these two characteristics aren't operating in our life, we're not entering into the presence of God. Look, I love going to church. I love serving in the community and doing all these things. But if I can't have the presence of God, I'd give that up in a minute. Because it is His presence that I long for. Last week, Tina and I were getting in the car and we were heading on 90 going out east. And we saw three deer, one with a big buck rack thing on his head, and they were off to the right of the ramp, and there was a pond there, and they were drinking. Their heads were bowed, and they were drinking from this little pond on the side of the road. It was like we got on, you're driving fast, and you look over and you see it, and God was kind of saying, as the deer pants for the water brook, so your soul pants for me. And it was that little moment I said, God, thank you, Jesus. It was almost enough to pull the car over and do my happy dance. Say, God, you're good to me. Oh, I just saw the beauty of the Lord because it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. So these marks are not only for growing Christians, but they're for glowing Christians. I don't know about you, but I don't want to go to church with people that don't glow. Look at your neighbor and say, I think you're glowing. Why is a glow important? Because you have the light of God inside of you. And it'll shine through you into a dark world. Everywhere you go, you ought to bring smiles. Everywhere you go, you ought to bring happiness. Everywhere you go, you ought to change the atmosphere from gloom and doom to hope and joy. Because we are glowing Christians. But you can't be a glowing Christian if you don't have thanks and we don't have giving operating in our life. So how do we then not have these two basic characteristics going on? Three roadblocks. That's all I'm going to give you, three. There's probably others, but three that I see in the scripture that will prevent us from operating in thanks and giving. Those two characteristics mark your growth and maturity as a Christian. I really would like to challenge us to say, okay, in 2015, at the end of the year, I gave X amount of dollars to the work of God. At the end of 2016, I gave this amount of money to the work of God. If it's less, you're not growing. Oh, it got quiet in here. That's all right, I'll keep preaching. Amen, Pastor. That was a good point. You know, if you can't get an amen, you got to make one up for yourself. You know, I'm just going to sit right there and amen me. I'll put this down and I'll amen. But you want to give more. The volunteer time that you gave in 2015. The investment time that you gave in other people. Are you giving more in 2016? Now, it's going to change. We all have only so many resources. We all have so many hours. But am I doing less this year for the kingdom of God than I did the year before? Man, I'm losing my glow. And I got to maintain my glow. Because this is a dark world that we live in. But it's good to know that you and I are the light of the world. We are the salt of the earth. Roadblocks to gratitude and generosity. Those are the two characteristics of thanks and giving. Number one, here it is. Are you ready? Pride. Look over your neighbor and say, pride. Pride. What is pride? It's an inordinate self-esteem or unreasonable conceit of our own excellence and our own importance. Paul writes, and he says in Philippians, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought, but to esteem others' needs as more important than your own. In other words, that aims right at the heart of pride. Because when I consider my need to be more important than your need, I'm actually walking in pride. It's this inordinate attention and emphasis to my own need. And this attitude, we feel we have no one to thank, sort of like Burt Reynolds, than himself for swimming out of certain death. We don't think we have anyone else to honor or to be thankful toward because we made it on our own. Look, you may have been a fighter all your life. You may have had difficult circumstances in which you were raised, but let me help you with something. Had it not been for God, you would not be here this morning. Because as much as you think that you are the one that got you to where you are, you better stop and lift your hands and praise God. Because it is only the goodness and the grace of God that has brought you here this far. Now look over your neighbor and say, he's preaching really good. I kind of like that. Yeah. No, well, thank you. You know what happens when we walk in pride? We deem ourselves as the only one that's really worthy. We sing, worthy am I, worthy am I. I mean, no, we're not worthy. There's only one worthy, and his name is Jesus. Look at 1 Corinthians 4 and 7. I want you to look at it on the screen if you can put it up for me. For who makes you differ from another? And what do you have that you did not receive? Now, if you did indeed receive it, why do you boast if you had not received it? Paul's basically telling the church at Corinth, look, everything you've got was handed to you by the goodness and the grace of God. So if that be the case, then why do you act and boast and tell others that you've got something to do with what you have? It helps check our attitude. It helps check our attitude. Let me say this. If you have ever leaned into that, if you ever thought that perhaps you are the one that got you to where you are and given you what you have, if you've ever kind of leaned into that, there may be some pride that has to be dealt with. But we know we are most undone. Had it not been for God, I don't know that I'd be alive today. Some of you have the same testimony. I've been through all kinds of situations. When I was a kid, I was so dumb. When I was a teenager, I was even worse. When I was a young adult prior to getting saved, but God, I should have overdosed. I should have had a drunk driving accident. I should have canned out, man, many times. I should have been shot during a thievery that I was involved in. I should have been killed. Don't look at me like that. You were in those situations too. There's times when you should have not come through, but God brought you through. He brought you through because He has a plan for your life. And how could I not come to the house of God and lift up my hands and say, thank you, Jesus, for all that you have done, because you have been good to me. I think we ought to do that right now. Take a praise break with me. Lift your hands up. Shout hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you have done for me. God, you're good. Woo! I got to read something with me. You got to read it with me. Psalm 10 and verse 4. Look at it on the screen, and I'd like for you to read it with me. So let's do it. Ready? The wicked in his proud countenance does not seek God. God is in none of his thoughts. I'll hold that scripture up there, and I want us to look at this for a minute. Allow it to be kind of marinated in our spirit. The wicked in his proud countenance does not seek God. The prideful in his proud countenance, the prideful does not seek God. The prideful doesn't seek God, doesn't need God. Thanks God, I got it on my own. 80%, let me take that back. 10%, let me take that back. I made it to the shore without you, and I'll live the rest of my life without you as well. The proud countenance doesn't seek God. Someone said we ought to live every day as if it's our last day on the earth, because someday it will be. But notice what happens to the prideful person. Thanks and giving, gratitude, thanks, generosity is not operating in their life. They're not growing. They're not glowing. They're prideful. It's a roadblock to the base characteristics of a growing, glowing Christian. But watch what happens. Here's the price of pride. God is aware in none of his, God is never in none of his, come on, say it with me. God is none of his thoughts. Why is that important? Because as a man thinks, so is he. So in your marriage, you're trying to be married without God thoughts about marriage. You're trying to raise your children without God thoughts as to how to have a family. We're trying to live life, do life, without the giver of life, his handbook, he has no thoughts about God in his daily life. Pride is a roadblock to generosity and gratitude. Number two, a critical spirit. You see, we live in a day where we have such pride in our nation. Such pride, such arrogance, such hate spews forth, such defiance, thinking that we control our destiny. And God is not in any of our thoughts. Secondly, a critical spirit. This is the exact opposite, the attitude that is the exact opposite of 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8 defines for us what love is. You know, it's patient, it's kind, it's forgiving, it doesn't boast, doesn't remember or take an account an evil done to it. Remember all of that, 1 Corinthians 13? 4 through 8, a critical spirit is the exact opposite. Here's what a critical spirit does. It will arrogantly judge others. It's easily provoked. It takes into account every wrong experience, and it never carries hope for anything. Critical spirits, rather than giving thanks and rather than offering our gifts, this person always finds something to complain about. If it's hot out, it's too hot. If it's cold, it's too cold. If somebody's friendly, they weren't friendly enough. If they were too friendly, what did they want? We're suspicious of their behavior. We find something to complain about. How many know that our mouths were not given to us for grumbling and complaining? But God gave us a mouth for what? Ruling and reigning. We ought not to allow any grumbling to come out of our mouth. We ought not to allow any negativity come out of our mouth. In other words, if you don't have anything good to say, don't say it. But I've got to say it. They need to know this. Why do they need to know? What happens with a critical spirit? A critical spirit creates carelessness. Now that's important for you to remember and write that down. Critical spirit will produce carelessness. If we can't maintain an attitude of thankfulness before the Lord for all things, in all things, if we can't continue to give to others even when we feel we're being deprived, we are going to become careless, either through pride or through a critical spirit of other people. Carelessness is the prelude to disobedience. And let me just help you with that for a second. I won't stay long on this point, but carelessness is what creates or sets up disobedience. Most people don't get up in the morning and go, I think I'm going to be disobedient today. Their carelessness has birthed disobedience. For example, if I'm a student and I've been assigned homework, and I didn't bring my homework home because I was careless, I left it in my locker, or if I did bring it home, I laid my books in my bedroom Friday, now Saturday, now late Sunday, because I was busy with my friends, I was careless. Carelessness leads to what? Disobedience. On Monday, when the teacher says, turn in your homework, and you go, whoa, I don't have it. You now have allowed carelessness to flip into disobedience. Carelessness, however, doesn't have a penalty. You follow me? No consequence for carelessness other than a sloppy life. But most of us are used to that when we're careless. We live loose as a goose, fly from our hip. We just kind of go with the flow. When does it become penalized? Carelessness becomes penalized when it slips into disobedience. Because I couldn't hand in my homework, now I get the F. I get the incomplete. Now I'm penalized in my grade. Now we could use tons of illustrations, but carelessness will always birth disobedience. Let me give you some examples out of the Bible. Carelessness births disobedience. Number one, Aaron's sons. Aaron's sons were being trained in the priesthood. Aaron was the high priest. They were given the duty to offer burnt incense offerings to the Lord. What was really interesting about that is God had a prescribed way how to offer incense to God. However, Aaron's sons became careless in the preparation, in the instruction, and decided their formula and plan was better than God's instruction. Have you ever had children like that? Yeah, of course, they think their way is better than your way. It's carelessness which will lead to disobedience. How many know that when they offered the, quote, strange fire, that's what God said it is. This was strange fire. Why was it strange? It wasn't strange because the incense was burning, but how it was prepared in carelessness, which created disobedience, and God rejected it. When God rejected the incense, even though the incense was burning and ascending like the incense that would burn and ascend if it was followed in the procedure, God said, you know what? I rejected that because it was done incorrectly. As a result, they lost their priesthood and judgment fell. Carelessness will precede disobedience, which disobedience will ultimately bring judgment. Now, God doesn't judge a person. Our carelessness, which leads to disobedience, judges us. God doesn't have to judge us. All we have to do is walk in disobedience, and disobedience carries with it judgment. For example, the wages of sin is, does God kill you? No. He permits death, which is in sin, to take its course in a man or woman's life based on their choice. But if you and I repent of our sin, ask Christ to come into our hearts and be the Lord of our life, we have our sins remitted. Now the wages of sin is no longer death, because now I have no longer sinned. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. So now I'm walking in forgiveness, and God views you and me justified, just if I have never sinned. It's a beautiful, beautiful relationship. So I'm now able to negate sin's payment, which is death, based on coming out of sin through Christ's atonement and the forgiveness of Christ's blood. I now walk in the life giver. I walk in the spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus, which is a powerful thing. So when sin, when death knocks on my door and says, hey, I'm here to take your soul, I have to tell you that even though a man might die, yet shall he live. That's what Jesus said to Lazarus and his family. Even though a man sins, if he's in me, yet shall he live. So the disobedience, the result was broken. Now let me tell you, if I'm in the classroom and I wasn't careless over the week and my teacher says, turn in the report, and I hand it in, disobedience passes, judgment passes over me because I walked in obedience. Carelessness illustration number two. How many know that Eli was the main guy when Samuel was raised in the house of the Lord? He was the priest. He was the spokesperson for God. But how many know that he would not discipline his sons? Hophni and Phinehas, or whatever the name was. Don't name your kids Hophni and Phinehas, all right? Not a good name. But they, what did they do? When the girls came to the temple, they would seduce them into saying, let's have sexual relationships, because when you do, you'll be closer to God, because I'm like the man. Perverted, right? What else did they do? When the offerings were given to the Lord, they would then be offered to the priests, and they would boil them. They would not only just follow the instruction of sticking in the fork and taking out whatever's on it, but they would stick it in and look and say, well, that's not the best piece, and put it back in and stick it in, well, that's not the best piece, until they got the best piece. Careless. Careless with the doing the right thing the wrong way. What you and I will guard our hearts is when you and I walk in generosity and we walk in gratitude, it guards us from doing the right thing the wrong way. It builds into us a sensitivity to the voice of God and to the blessing of obedience. They were judged. They lost their lives. Judgment came as a result of carelessness. Number three, what about David? David wanted to bring the presence of God back into Jerusalem. Do you remember the story? So what did he do? He thought, well, I'll just get the Ark of the Covenant and I'll put it on an ox cart. An ox cart, doing the right thing the wrong way. God didn't say put it on an ox cart. The Philistines put the Ark of the Covenant on an ox cart and sent it back. Remember when the plagues were covering their land? But God didn't say put an ox cart. So here's David worshiping. He's dancing before the Lord. All of this celebration. And the ox stumbles. And the ox cart leans. And David's good friend, Uriah, what was his name? Not Uriah. Uzziah. He put his hand out to steady to hold up the Ark of the Covenant. And God zapped him. He died right there. Why? Because he touched the Ark of the Covenant, which is holy. No man's supposed to touch it. So David gets really angry. He said, God, I'm trying to do the right thing. Here I'm trying to be a blessing, bring your presence back. I can't believe you'd kill my friend. And God didn't answer him. There are times you won't hear from God because God does not answer stupidity. Don't take that as an offense. Ask Holy Spirit, am I doing this the right way? Am I doing this according to your word? Am I doing this according to your dictates, your statutes? Am I following your commands here? Or have I strayed and I'm doing this thing my own way? Generosity and gratitude will keep that in check. When you don't have generosity and gratitude operating in your life, you'll tend to become careless. David finally goes back to the book and says, I got to find some priests that are sanctified and set apart. I got to pick up this Ark of the Covenant by inserting the poles through the circles, through the staff, through the circles, lift it up and put it on the priest's shoulder and carry it in the prescribed way, doing the same thing but doing it the right way. Let me tell you something. Christianity today has been redefined by a lot of people trying to do the right thing the wrong way. I don't know, man. I don't know where church has gone. Because when old church was around, you didn't do those kind of things. And now in new church, we actually applaud. We applaud what people are doing that used to be condemned by the church mothers. You can go out to the club and get drunk and come in here Sunday morning and sing in the praise team. Come on now. And if you were the organist and your pants were too tight, you just go sit down. Don't shout me down. We didn't watch R-rated movies. You didn't even go to the movie theater. There are devils in the theater. Now, I know it's taken... Come on now, how many remember those days? You don't remember those days. But today, everything's loose, free. Everything's acceptable. Let me tell you something. We may be doing the right thing, but we're not doing it the right way. Carelessness. And there's going to be a price to pay. And the price is already being paid in America. That's why we as a church have to repent, turn back to God. But that's another message. Carelessness will interrupt and sidetrack us from living a life of thanks and giving. Ephesians 5:20, Bible says, giving thanks always for all things to God, the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, when we're faced with adversity or trial, it's always best to rely upon thanksgiving. It's not easy at times when life takes a sudden turn. Have you ever had that happen? You got to say yes, because if you're human, you've had that happen. Because when events take turns or go sour on us, what's in our heart tends to erupt. But if we can have thankfulness, generosity in our heart, when those things take place, we say, Lord, I don't understand it. God, my heart is broken, but I'm going to trust you. And I'm just going to say, thank you, Lord, for giving to me. Thank you, Lord, for giving me all that I have need of today. Lord, I don't understand why this happened. I don't understand why this is going on, but I want to say thank you, Jesus. And now what I'm going to do is, even though this was taken from me, I'm going to go and invest and give to someone else. I'm going to counter what the enemy is trying to get me to believe. He's seducing me into believing that God is not good, but he is good. And I'm going to go bake a pie and give it to my neighbor. The neighbor, not the good neighbor, not the neighbor on that side. The neighbor on this side that's got that barking dog all night long. I'm going to be thankful, right? Because I'm a growing, glowing Christian. Amen? When you forgive others and you serve in his church, you share his salvation, you touch hurting humanity, you give up your treasure, your time, your talent. When I got saved, it was a different culture. It was a different ideology. Now we've grown, and I'm glad that some of the things we've grown through, but there were some real solid basic core issues that we've letting go of. I don't understand that. Our treasure, our time, our talent, it belongs to the Lord. And when we operate in that, we guard our hearts against critical spirits. We guard our hearts against pride. We guard our hearts against carelessness. Thanksgiving's coming up. I hope you use paper plates. God bless you if you use real china. How many bring out your china for Thanksgiving? Let me see your hand. A few of you hard holdouts here. Yeah. How many are going to throw some paper plates on there with the turkey on it? Let me see. All right. But when it's over, somebody's got to wash the dishes, right? A woman, after Thanksgiving meal, stood over her sink full of dirty dishes, pots, and pans that were right to the ceiling. And she's standing there weeping. And her husband walks in during the commercial watching the football game and says, baby, you okay? And she turns and says, I'm just being thankful. He said, for what? How could you be thankful for all these dirty dishes? She said, because it's a testimony of the bounty of God that we all just partook of. And I just want to praise him while I wash every dish. Right? Big difference in attitude. Because she knew that that was a testament to God's goodness and his bounty in their lives. See, when a person focuses on what they don't have, they will never see what they do have. You can't keep your eyes searching for something that you don't possess. But thank God for what you do have. And this is a applicable in every dimension of our life, friendships, church. Jobs, clothing, vehicles, a bed to sleep in. Really doesn't matter. It's on every dimension of life. Because a growing Christian is a glowing Christian because they've learned to live in thanks and giving. And I want to challenge us as a church to focus on what God has given you. What has God blessed you with today? Last night, as we were watching our grandchildren bake cookies, and I have to admit, I didn't get my hands in the mix, but I sat there and I watched them in their maturity. They're growing up now, you know, they're older. They can actually go outside. You don't have to go with them now. They're teenagers now. And I was watching them mature into young women and young men. And I was looking at my wife as she was scurrying around the kitchen and the lights of the Christmas trees throwing that beautiful casting ember light upon the walls. And my daughter, she was there giving instruction. And I sat there and I said, God, you are so good to me. I may not have this and I may not have that, but let me just stay here a while and say, God, thank you for what you've given me. And I'm going to tell you this morning, if you can focus on what God's given you, you say, well, my left foot, man, if God will just heal that, how's your right one? Come on. I got this torn meniscus in my right knee. I'm like, God, I'm not focused on. Thank you for a nice, long, strong left knee. Thank you, Jesus. Woo! Now, God, can you do something about this right one here? Focus on what God's done for you. You're here this morning. You're not in the best mental institution in the county. You're not in jail. Your family's not outside of the ICU waiting to see whether you're going to make it or not. You're not on life support. You're in a place where there's a lot of love right now. And I just think we ought to ask the Holy Spirit to come and minister to the deficiencies in our life. But I think His ministry is accentuated when we're thankful. Can you be thankful for Him? His ministry is accentuated when we're generous to one another. Micah, could you put my song on? Just dim the lights down a little bit. Holy Spirit, we're asking you right now to help us focus on saying thank you. We're asking you, Holy Spirit, that you would invest in us the fact that your grace is flowing like a river. You could turn it up. Let's take a couple minutes. Fount of heaven, love of Christ, overflow in me. Thank you, Jesus. It's a good place to lift your hand and say, yeah, thank you, Jesus. Set me free. Set you free. Thanks, my Savior. Rescue me. Come on, Holy Spirit's here to rescue, to save. Take this life, deliver. Vessel of your love. Yeah, come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Holy night, devote. Do you have something you can thank Him for? One thing? set me free. I want to thank you, Christ my Savior, you rescued me.
Thank you, Jesus.
Set me free. Come on, somebody, give him thanks. We want to give you praise, Lord. Rescued me. I just want to thank you, Lord. Just want to open my mouth and say thank you, Lord. You are good to me, God. Come on, just open your mouth and say, God, you're good to me. And I believe you're my healer. I believe you're my deliverer. I believe, oh God, you will supply all my needs. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. You love him? I love you. Turn it up a little bit. You've given my heart. You've set me apart. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. You've given me heart. You've opened my eyes. You love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. You've given my heart. You've set me apart. I love you, Lord. Would you like to stand up with me and let's give him some praise? Come on. Lift up those hands. Begin to give God praise in this place. For he is a good God. Oh, we give you thanks, Lord. Holy, holy, holy. You alone are worthy, God. Oh, you alone are worthy. Me alive. You've opened my eyes. Yeah, I love you, Lord. I love you. Come on, bless the Lord. You set me apart. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. You give me life. You've opened my eyes. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. You've opened my heart. You've set me apart. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. What I'd like for you to do with me this morning, just cross the aisle and move on over and take somebody by the hand. Now that hand you're holding is a real person with real needs. And the Holy Spirit is here right now to release his glory and power into their lives. And I want us to begin to pray for miracles, healing, deliverance to take place in the life of the person whose hand you're holding. Let's do it right now. Come on. Let's open our mouth and let's begin to pray. Father God, we just come to you right now and we say, Lord God, that you are the healer, Father. You are Jehovah Rapha. And I believe, oh God, that you are going to be the one that's going to break the power of sickness. You're going to break the power of disease. You're going to break, oh God, the power of bondage and stronghold in the life of the person whose hand I'm holding. And I'm saying right now, God, with thanks and with giving, we take authority over sickness. We command cancer to go. We say, God, tumors must cease and desist. We thank you, God, that we have the victory, for Jesus is Lord over their life. And God, right now we're praying for financial breakthrough, Father. We're asking, God, that you would meet their need supernaturally. God, you are a good God. And we're believing, God, that this is a miracle moment. So Jesus, show up and show out, God. Show up and show out, God. Show yourself strong in this movement, God, right now. And we give you thanks, Lord. We give you honor. God, I thank you that addiction is being broken right now in this room, God. Whether it be to opiates, or whether it be alcohol, or whether it be tobacco, or whether it be pornography, or whether it be, oh God, to our own self, we pray, God, that you would break addiction in Jesus' name. And Father, we thank you that we're walking now in liberty and freedom. Now, church, I want you to pray for that person who you're praying with now, for the joy of the Lord to come all over them and in them and through them, that they would feel and sense the strengthening of God's purpose and God's joy. Come on, ask the Lord. God, stir up the joy of the Lord in them. We break depression. We come against melancholy. We come against, oh God, an attitude of failure and quitting and being done in life. I pray, Father, that they would be overjoyed this morning. And we give you glory and honor and praise in Jesus' name. Now do me a favor. Break those hands. Lift them up to the Lord. Turn it up a little bit, my brother Micah. Come on, let's sing it to the Lord. How many believe he's a rescue God? He's a delivering God. He is a good God. Come on, lift up your praise to God. And let's thank him for all that he has done and for all that he is doing in this place. Holy Spirit, would you come? Holy Spirit, would you fall? Holy Spirit, would you come? Holy Spirit, would you fall? Holy Spirit, would you come? Holy Spirit, would you fall? Come on, ask him. Say, come, Holy Spirit. I need you. You, come on, tell him. I love you, Lord. Sing it. I love you. Yeah, come on. Oh, entered my heart. You set me apart. Set me apart. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Yeah. Given me life, you opened my eyes. I love you, Lord. We could thank God for something this morning. Give him the thanks he deserves. Hallelujah! Oh, yeah! You were good, you were good, you were good, you were good. You were good, you were good, yeah! You were good, you were good. I give you praise, I give you glory, I give you honor, Lord. I worship you. This morning, I'm going to challenge you to just press into the Lord for the next 3 or 4 minutes. You need a prayer agreement. We're going to lay hands on you. We're going to pray for you. Or you just want to give God some praise, get out from your seat, come around the front and say, God, I'm here to be not only a growing Christian, but I want to be a glowing Christian. Come on, if that's your heart, I want you to press into him this morning. Let's bless the Lord. Let's give him all of our praise. Come on, Jesus. Thank you, Micah. You can turn it back up. Thank you, Lord. You are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy, Lord. Yeah. I love you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You set me free. Come on, if you ain't got nothing else to praise him for, you could praise him for that. If you can't think of anything else, you ought to say, thank God, I once was bound, but now I'm free. I once was blind, but now I see. Thank you, Jesus. Set me free. Christ, my Savior, you rescued me. Rescued me. Now just thank him right there where you're standing. Hallelujah. You can put on another worship song, just another worship song that takes us into the presence of the Lord. We just thank the Holy Spirit right now that you're ministering to every person in this place right now, God. And we're pressing in now, Father. We're thanking you that Darissa's healed, God, in Jesus' name. We thank you that Crystal Tackett is healed now in Jesus' name, that she's set free, Father. I thank you, Spirit of God, that you are here to do a miracle, Father, in Jesus' name. Father, we ask for Rosella's daughter, Ramona. God, that doctor, Father, I know he sees cancer, but God, we see life, and we say, let life come in Jesus' name. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come on, sing in your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. Oh, yeah. Thank you, Father. Tasted and see all the sweetness of love, where my heart comes free and my shame is undone. Come on, sing it in your presence.
Your presence,
Lord. Come on, everybody, lift your hands up and sing Holy Spirit. Come on, turn it up. Spirit, fall right here, God. Oh, come on, sing it. Your presence, Lord. Come on, Holy Spirit, have your way. Come on. I taste it. Oh, Jesus. And my shame. It's undone. Come on, it's in his presence. Press. Presence, Lord. Somebody just lift up the Holy Spirit. Come on, Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place of
experience the glory.
of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Oh, just wave before the Lord. Come on. Wave before the Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome right here in my heart. This place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. Woo! Thank you, Lord. He's a good God. Come on, make a commitment this morning that you will be a growing, glowing Christian. Yeah. He's good. Oh, go. You are good. Oh, you are good. Oh, good, good. Oh, Father, we repent of any word or thought or anything we've spoken, God, that was careless. We repent for every careless act, every careless word. And we just want to say how much we love you and we thank you. Be the fire inside my spirit, God, because you are good. Come on, worship. You are good. Sing it now. Oh. Never gonna let, never gonna let me down. Come on. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. Come on, Holy Spirit, minister your way. You minister, God. Come on, Holy Spirit, minister. Oh, you're never gonna let me down. You are good, good. Oh, you are good, good. Oh, you are good, good. Oh, good. You are good, good.